insulting.
I'll be happy to do my best to identify the worst parts.
I doubt very much that whatever we come up with will survive the cross-constituency review.
Oh, no, look, if we come up with something like the cross-constituency, it will be referred to. If it's obvious, it will be referred to. The ALAC came up with a fantastic panel.
The Cross-Constituency Appeals Committee, CCAC.
Because that's implying that this process has always taken.
And you're limiting it to only appeals.
Yeah. I think Oversight Committee.
Oversight or just commission. We don't.
No, it's the acronyms we're worried about. Okay, wait a minute.
I just need to announce the name of the session.
Quash, we'll have a little moment's silence.
This is the Atlas II Thematic Group 4 ICANN Transparency and Accountability Session 3, Sunday, June 22nd, 2014 at 11 a.m.
Thank you. And our thanks must go to Fred.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt.
I think we should leave the name at the moment because this is just going to be fraught, to be polite. We have, in principle, recommending something that is cross-constituency, that is a standing as opposed to a working group with an end structure. It is independent, that is, it is not ICANN Inc., but actually representing the constituency, and its scope is the board decisions. And we're going to come up with a name, and it's not going to be offensive. And I almost forgot Christoph's very important point about cross-pollination. And he's going to come up with a name.
This is two arms means procedural request. We've said a lot now, but I'm confused about what we really agreed on. So are we at a stage right now where we can put something in our wiki, something in writing which we can all see? I mean, this is all in our heads, but there may be different things in different heads.
Yes.
Just as a very practical thing, now it's on that paper. Is there a way we can put it in the wiki? So in the evening, in my room, that I can look at that and think about it.
Yeah, that will probably happen.
Thanks.
That's one of our recommendations.
Oh, now we are going to the most difficult part. That's the scope. Now we seem this new creation is going to reveal ICANN board decision. Can it also be used for this IANA storeship? Even though ICANN tried to split, but we don't have to follow that. Yes.
Now, comment right there. The NRO submission said, look, right now, the actual managing of the numbers works very well. It is not problematic. In fact, between the servers and the RIRs, there are already a range of agreements in place. So the whole management, the actual management of the numbers works very well, and the submission from the NRO is don't touch it because it works. What they said in their submission is the function's fine. If you're talking about the actual development of policy in relation to numbers, that is something that ICANN does, and that's perhaps more problematic in the sense that take the technical stuff out of it. Now, I know, Hong, you look very upset.
But for the IP addresses, ICANN does not make policy on IP addresses. It's all up to RAR, yeah. Right?
That was the point. That is, when we're talking about management number of issues, that's kind of wrapped up. If we're talking about the DNS or something that may impact, then we don't have that we don't have that kind of framework in the same way. So what we're actually talking about, when we're talking about what is it that the US government or other governments would worry about, the actual physical technical management works and will continue to work. So I think we just take that out. That's what I'm hearing, that it's functioning very well. So, and there are enough agreements in place between the registries, servers, everybody else to make that work. And they're already accountable to each other. So that's not seen as an issue. The issue we had to deal with was about board decisions that are apart from that particular technical management function. Now you're going, now tell me why, and does anybody else, this is what I'm thinking as an individual. I'm not here representing what everybody else says. So, any comments?
I apologize for walking into this halfway through, and maybe I'm addressing something incorrect. I don't see the oversight responsibility as just being board actions. It's any case where IANA does not seem to be implementing the established policies. So, you know, what happens if, you know, I'll take a ridiculous example. .com suddenly disappears from the root. There's no policy that says they should. It just disappeared. Someone decided to take some action. You know, I mean, in a political sense, it's Iran disappears from the root. But, you know, let's take .com. It's less volatile. But there's more subtle ones also. So it's not just board act. It's not just formal board action. It's simply things happening which are not in accordance with policy, or things get delayed inordinately, which one could blame purely on bureaucracy, but maybe it's a conspiracy. Those are the kind of things that worry people. It's not the formal action the board takes a decision and publicizes. It's the stuff that happens. And how do we make sure that doesn't
happen? How about you reframe the scope then?
I didn't look at what the words were. I just heard
board decision.
What you were saying about, you know, reacting to board actions, and it's far more subtle than that.
Scott?
Well, I was trying to actually bring up the same point as Alan, but Alan said it far more eloquently than I would have. Like, why were we limiting ourselves to the board? Like, there's all this stuff that goes on.
Very short comment. Just now, Gak discussing deletion of secret voting by email to make it transparent for everybody.
This is Jonathan Zook for the transcript. I guess my first reaction to Alan's point is that the board is currently the last stop, if you will, inside of ICANN, and that there will in fact be, as we did discuss earlier, lots of internal review mechanisms that exist inside of ICANN to deal with any number of things that come up, and the board is sort of the final arbitrator. And I think that this was about providing a backstop, much like the one that NTIA played, that was sort of, you know, where to go when all these other internal systems fail, as opposed to trying to find one entity that would replace all of them, and so that, because I don't think you want a system where every dispute that comes up would go to this body instead of the ones that are already built into the ICANN infrastructure generally to handle those things, but you want a final mechanism of appeal. And I think that's why this group was saying board decisions, is because that's the last step when all these other things have been exhausted that would still be in place to handle a lot of things going along the way as far as IANA. IANA already has a lot of review mechanisms in place today, and today, if they failed, we would ultimately take those things to the board to resolve. But if we were unhappy with the board decision, we would take it up with the Department of Commerce, at least in theory. So the question is, can the community come up with its own replacement for the NTIA? And that's why it was confined to decisions of the board, so that its scope wasn't anytime you were unhappy at any level, you would go right to this review team to review it. I think that was the idea anyway.
I don't disagree with that, but that presumes the board has not been captured, for instance. So disputing a board action is not the same as being able to dispute inaction, for instance. And as long as the scope is wide enough to cover, to make sure that the world is still running, despite board action or inaction, or blindness, then I'm happy. But it can't just be based on board actions.
I won't follow what Jonathan mentioned. But sorry, that's Song Xue. Yes, but your discussion is very inspiring, at least to me. It seems a board decision is too narrow. Probably we think about board performance, and we can oversee all their performances, including inaction, right? And the poor management of IANA, Y.com suddenly disappeared, right? So now it's more than appeal mechanism. It's really oversight.
If I may, I've seen examples, and not necessarily in ICANN, but other places, saying, you know, the board or whatever the body is says, we meet every 2 months. And, you know, we'll look at it appropriately when we meet in 2 months. Well, that's not going to be satisfactory in a world that works minute by minute and day by day. So all I'm saying is that it's got to be a little bit wider than board action.
I think that's why we say performance. If it's performance and basically they're sitting on their hands. If it's oversight or performance, oversight of performance, and basically they're sitting on their hands.
I'd be a bit uneasy with the word performance, because that has to...
Could you come up with another word? With another word.
Yeah, but I agree.
I guess you can call
Okay. So we're down to wordsmithing. I think conceptually we've got some agreement. Now, that's a narrow outcome, because some of our broader outcomes we're actually going to have to put some flesh on. And I think in the afternoon we're going to have to put some flesh on the accessibility. We had, from Scott's perspective, and perhaps from Graham as well, the importance of the ALSs in terms of outreach. We had identified issues of accessibility in terms of simplification of how do you participate on a one-off instance, on a individual basis, on periodic basis, all those sorts of issues were accessibility. We haven't talked a lot about transparency. And one of the things, though, that was mentioned in passing was transparency also means you can actually find the information, you're not completely swamped by it. And there's so much of it you don't know what's there. Christoph.
I also wanted to raise the issue of transparency, but it was with a special focus on this review or review body, oversight body. A typical problem of oversight is that you have a big organization and a small body that is supposed to oversight the big organization. Now, obviously, the small body cannot oversight without help, because just the small number of people is not capable of doing that. Now, one approach to that is transparency. Transparency in the way that the wider community that is supposedly also be represented in that oversight body has access to information to analyze what the organization that is to be controlled does and refer to that oversight body issues. So in that way, support the oversight body. That's one aspect. The other aspect we didn't mention is, of course, in order to be able to perform oversight, the body needs to have access to information in a direct relationship to the organization that is to be oversighted. So there needs to be a right to ask information and to get information if they need that. I think we didn't mention that.
Do we actually want to write that in? I think surely the assumption, if you've got one of those bodies, is they'd have access to information. Maybe I'm just assuming, because I can't imagine you would have an oversight body that would be denied access to all of the relevant information. But
isn't that naive if we don't? I mean, don't we have to mention things like that?
We can.
It's Christoph Bruch speaking again. Just, I mean, it's a typical issue. It's a typical issue for parliaments all over the world that they don't get the information from the executive they need to perform their oversight.
Asha Hemrajani, just a question. Maybe this has already been discussed. If it has been, I apologize. But have you discussed what this cross-constituency standing committee, who will be part of that committee, and how will that committee? You say it's cross-constituency, so I'm assuming that each constituency will elect one or two. Do we need to discuss that?
At this stage, I think I want to go through all the recommendations that we have, and then that's a level of detail that I'm not sure we've got time to go through. Do people want to go through it now? Because I'd like to go through and pick up all the sorts of things that we have said as recommendations and get them all down before we go into detail. Because I was just thinking another couple of other things that we... Chester is reporting. We also talked about the two sort of entry points for non-ICANN people to make complaints, to seek information, being compliance and the TIO. And with the TIO, one of the recommendations was to widen its jurisdiction because right now 80% of the complaints they get, they can't deal with. And so there is two ways to address that. One is to say you need to actually broaden your think of broadening your jurisdiction, and or documenting the nature of all of the complaints that you get as well as compliance gets, so that there is awareness of what issues are out there in the community that are not being solved by ICANN, not even being dealt with by ICANN, and find mechanisms so those complaints can be dealt with. It may simply be information.
Yeah, I raised my hand originally when we were talking about transparency, but you've just come back to it. When the ATRT2 started its work, we came up with a concept of the default should be transparency and openness. That is, information of any sort should not be concealed unless there is a substantive reason for it available. So, yes, an oversight committee might have access to additional information which cannot be made public for whatever reason, contractual or personnel reasons or whatever. But in the general course of business, unless there is a reason for not disclosing, it must be disclosed. And that covers a lot of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Partly there's the reality of you cannot publish everything in a usable form, otherwise you just get inundated with data that's not accessible. So, everyone always does filtering at some level. But information that is of interest to the community should not be undisclosed unless there's a substantive reason for doing it. And that must be almost an underlying credo that goes along with all of this.
I've got it down.
Okay.
I think we just state, I think if people are comfortable with it, I think we just state as a recommendation that openness and transparency is the default position for information, for ICANN information. Full stop.
The buzzwords that we use were essentially it should be built into the DNA. That is, you shouldn't have to convince someone to make something available every time there's a new piece of information, but the default is unless there's a reason for not disclosing why it should be available. Again, subject to the reality of you don't want to have an infinite number of people doing the disclosing and the publishing.
Now, what else have we, because I'm thinking over lunch, trying to capture on the screen everything that we've said. So we've got that principle, we've got our cross-constituency principle, we have the stuff about compliance, we have a definition of accountability that we start with. What are we talking about? We have...
The other issue was this notion of accessibility, I think is the other piece that we
yep.
wanted to make part of the recommendation, which is that true accountability will only happen with greater accessibility to ICANN processes by periodic interveners, and that's going to come through reforms of transparency in terms of how information is presented in a simplified way, how comment periods are handled, et cetera, that increased accessibility has to be a part and parcel of increased accountability, I think.
Is there a recommendation that ALAC can be involved in, and there are processes for the CCNSO, there are processes for GAC, there are processes for the GNSO, there are a whole range of processes. So to say all processes, I'd take a deep breath and go, oh, really? But somewhere in there, it ought to be possible and easy for individuals to intervene on a one-issue basis, on a periodic basis, that you should not have to be an ICANN denizen, so to speak, to be able to participate. It should be possible. And there are a lot of, I guess, I'm aware there are a lot of processes that people can intervene, but it is a knowledge of that there is an issue. It's making a decision to have, you know, an RSS feed onto your computer so that you're always informed when there is a new issue that's open for policy and so forth. It is, in one sense, it's already open. Well, in another sense, it's bloody hard to figure out how.
And it's not being ignored as an issue either. ATRT delved into it a little bit. The My ICANN website has gone a little bit in the way that the European Commission has, in that you can kind of subscribe to be informed about individual issues that matter to you rather than having to pay attention to everything, so that you can be informed that there's a public comment on an issue that you've predetermined you're interested in. Again, I think part of the issue is boiling things down more, so that when these public comment periods come, people can more easily sit down, look at just that public comment, the call for public comments, and ascertain what the question is that's actually being asked in a concise way. I think that simplification is something that would improve accessibility.
Yeah, it's Alan speaking. I think we really want to avoid getting into the details too much. It's easy enough to demand you want access to everything, and that tends to be described as drinking from a fire hose. That stuff is dumped at you at such a rate that yes, they're not hiding anything, but...
You're inundated.
I think that's the problem we're talking about trying to solve, is the fire hose problem.
Yeah.
But even in the abstract, making an abstract recommendation, that real accountability requires accessibility. Accessibility needs to be something other than the fire hose, I think, is in fact the recommendation.
And but even that is difficult. I got a notification on my ICANN a few weeks ago about a new CEO, Rod Beckstrom. They had updated his bio page for some reason, and it got distributed that night to everyone.
We can also add a third recommendation, which is stop screwing up, right?
Yeah.
How well that would be
all I'm saying is it's a difficult thing to get quite right, so I think we want to stay out of the details too much.
I think we can make the point. We believe that periodic participation is essential for more global participation in ICANN processes, and that we believe that those things are part and parcel of accountability. The structural changes we're looking at.
What about words like continued simplification of access to ICANN information and processes for is something like that to acknowledge the starting, but to acknowledge it's still not very easy to do this stuff?
ALAC recognizes that work is ongoing, but that there's still quite a bit left to be done, and it's essential to truly call yourself a globally accountable organization.
Okay. So if we leave it as continue process of simplification for continue the processes for the ease of participation in ICANN processes or something like that. Oksana.
Оксана Приходько, I think that it could be one of the again function of this steering committee to analyze how to simplify what problems users meet with finding information.
Do I have any other ways of phrasing it? Because if not, people can have an early lunch while we try and come up with a list of what we've said. I don't think it's 10 recommendations, but I think it's enough. And then we can wordsmith this afternoon. Now, am I allowed to end a session?
Power.
Is there? Are we supposed to have a fourth session?
Yeah, it starts at
after lunch, 3 o'clock.
1500, three o'clock.
Sorry, there's
1500.
So it starts at three.
At three, session four.
That's the final session.
The final. Well,
you have lunch or the last one to before the reporting.
So our final session is 1 to 3.
No, you have lunch 1 to 3.
Oh.
Catered lunch.
We're having a catered lunch.
That's what the maps are for.
Yeah, the metro. Hilton
Portobello. Hilton.
You were late coming back from coffee break. There was a significant briefing.
It's been in your agenda for weeks.
Oh, we got to walk for lunch.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 minutes.
Holly, it's the same walk we made last night.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better.
Except much closer.
No.
It's not the 45-minute one.
It's right near the angst place. It's going back to the train station.
Yeah,
I can do that.
It's the Hilton right attached
to
the train station.
It is above the train station.
What I think we'll do, people can take a break now, but anybody that wants to stay back and just work wordsmith the stuff, people are welcome to, because I think we've got some wordsmithing to do. And then we're not going to have a lot to do after lunch, which is a good thing. Scott?
On the subject of wordsmithing,
yes.
I think we've kind of abandoned the oversight committee idea, but I had come up with a name. The Non-Allied Effectiveness Review Forum.
Does it have a good acronym you're telling us?
NERF. Its job is to nerf the board's decisions.
It's got to have something to do with the mouthwashing. I like that metaphor.
Right.
I should probably not be on the wordsmithing.
No, I don't think so. Now, look, people can. Are there any issues that are outstanding that we have not captured? No, I mean, I'm asking if people have thoughts about the things we have not discussed that we should, that will form the basis. And we've got Oksana and we've got Garth had his hand up first. No, Garth had his hand up first.
Garth Graham, one of the areas that we've never visited in this sense of control, which is something I don't even want to get into, not the control aspect, is what happens if this, and I'm going to call it the cross-community or cross-constituency commission, finds that somebody has violated something. Something is found to be wrong. What are the sanctions, and where do they come from?
I think that's a good question. We've got the scope, but we didn't have the enforcement power.
Right.
And if we don't have the enforcement power, then there will be a report to the board saying, we'll think you're very naughty.
Thank you very much.
But we're going back to, let's go back to what Jonathan was saying. In the bylaws, this has to be put into the bylaws. And so in the bylaws, there would have to be some mechanism to say, now that we have reviewed your processes, action, inaction, your failure to meet when there was a crisis, whatever, What can they do? Suggestions would include, I don't think they have, they would not have the power to actually fire board members. I don't think we're giving them that power. But what, in the administrative law area, what you often have is a rule that you must reconsider something. So say, for example, in administrative law terms, you've taken into account factors that you shouldn't have and made a decision, or you've made a decision where, in fact, you've taken the wrong things into account, or things like that, where, in fact, you can say you must now make a decision based on XXXX. Actually, that's beer, and that's Queensland beer. Ellen?
We have reconsideration rules in ICANN right now. Miraculously, every time the board reconsiders something, they say we didn't make a mistake. We could change the terms and have the reconsideration factor in substance, which it doesn't right now. Now it only looks at process. And they could still do that. A board that's been captured is captured. And they're not likely to change their mind.
I think you have to give the oversight some actual power.
That's right.
No question.
And I don't know what it is or how it is, but there's got to be something which will compel them to change their mind if there is overwhelming belief in the community that that they've made a wrong decision.
Christoph speaking. I think if we empower the oversight body too much, we have the same problem. If the oversight body is captured, then the same problem. So that I think that doesn't solve the question. I think I'm not arguing against giving certain powers to that oversight body, but I think probably the main power of the body is to make explicit what they think are wrongdoings or deficiencies or something. Just make it public. The idea to empower the body in a judicial way to enforce something onto ICANN, I think, would almost amount to kind of replacing the board of directors, at least potentially. And I think that is that's a problematic approach.
Chesson? Well, I think theoretically, if we have this cross-constituency supervisory or whatever group, then theoretically it's public when things goes to this committee or to this body. Am I correct? And I think I agree to some extent that we need power to be given to this body, a certain level of power anyway. Otherwise, you know, the board is going to say thank you very much, and you know, okay, well, thank you for your advice, and okay, period, case closed. You know, I think to the very least, we can maybe learn something, you know, from this. Borrow the what we're doing with this ILP panel or something. It should probably have the authority or certain level of power to reject or to enforce the board into doing something based on, I mean, the wrongs and the, you know, things that complaint to, you know, regarding the performance, the acts, or, you know, of the board.
Hopefully this would be a body that would hardly ever be used.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's cross-constituency, which includes agencies, governments, etc., would suggest that capture would be difficult. I think of this group, so I think it's worthy of having some kind of power to undo or unwind or to do something that wasn't done in order for it to be at all relevant, as opposed to just another.
But if you look at the current IRP, their decision, once it formed, their decision is binding to the board. The board will have to comply with the decision. So our oversight committee's decision should also be binding to the board. That's what we talk about. They should have enforcement power. There's more than watchdog. But what is clear is that they are overseeing board as a group. They're not punishing any individual unqualified board member. That should be up to the discipline of the board.
two things. It's Alan speaking. Number one, if most properly constituted corporations, and certainly under ICANN's rules, the board members are required to do what they believe is best for the organization. Imposing a rule on them from outside that's saying they must take certain action may well be in conflict with those kind of corporate board rules, and I think we have to take that into account. The other question I have is, have you discussed at all the voting threshold for this oversight body to make decisions? If this is a cross-community type group, as one finds in ICANN, you are not going to find unanimity, necessarily. Do the GAC members have more power than the ALAC members, as an example, or does it require a certain threshold to make a decision, things like that? That's one of the things that we may want to talk about.
Holly Raish, for the record, at this stage, I think we're just dealing in concepts. We haven't drilled down to detail at this stage, just because it's a matter of getting something on paper that we think forms a recommendation we want. If we have time, fine. We just haven't, I think we've been sort of dealing with high-level stuff. What is it that we want to put in terms of accountability and transparency as recommendations? And then in the reasonably unlikely situation that this gets taken up, then of course there'd be discussion. And we can discuss it if we've got time. But at the moment I'm thinking, is there anything else that we need, that concepts that we've had in terms of accountability and transparency that we haven't discussed, that Chester won't have notes on? Because I think what's important now is for Chester and myself and anybody else who wants to just work on the wording, so that when we come back at 3, there'll be a bunch of words, and we can actually, as a group, say we agree with all these things or change some wording or whatever. But I think we've had the discussions and the suggestions that we need to, and we just need to put them in, up, and make sure that everybody agrees with it. Christoph,
one question. Have we talked about how a process of that body is initiated?
No.
Okay, so that's something.
Well, that's again, it's a process question. It's what Alan asked,
yeah,
which
I understand, but I think it's a detail, but it's something we have to. I think we really have to consider
what
that.
What are your concrete suggestions?
I think it's in relation to how this body is going to be set up, that we have
okay.
a possibility.
I'm still asking, what are your concrete suggestions?
Yeah, I'm,
okay,
I am if I may finish my sentence, thank you very much, that I just don't want to have a situation where we need a unanimous decision by the body to start a process, but some kind of minority rights.
I don't understand your concern.
The concern is that, I don't know, some party outside raises an issue, and a minority within that oversight body thinks that it's a process should be started about, and a majority does not think so. So the question is, how do you handle this situation?
Scott?
If I may take an attempt to summarize, who files the paperwork, when, and at what point? Yes?
How do they decide to take up an issue?
Yeah. It's not who files it. It's you might have a piece of paper. Does anybody take a blind bit of notice?
But if by some miracle this ends up being...
Exactly.
If by some miracle this is taken up as the recommendation, I think the number of conversations that are going to happen, both about voting thresholds, taking things up, will be extensive, and there will be plenty of other opportunities for input into that process. I don't know if those are problems that need to be solved before we even know if anybody will buy this.
Look, I think if the best we could do at this stage, but we can deal with it in session 4, which will start at 3, sorry, 1500, would be we have to have clear processes for the initiation of the issue, for the initiation of handling whatever. You know, I'm not sure that at this stage we need to do more than say there should be something like this.
In my mind, a group like this cannot act on a minority. Whether it requires a majority, a supermajority, or what the threshold is can be debated, but it certainly needs to require a very significant number of the people on the oversight group feeling there is a problem. So I think in something that's raised by one person and gets passed indicates you have a lot of other very weak people on that group who are willing to go along with it just to be nice, which happens in parts of ICANN, or we need to set real rules. So, yes, we can debate what the number is, but in my mind, it's not 3% or 7%. It's got to be at least a majority and probably much more than a majority.
Yeah, I think it's not another bite at the apple for somebody that feels like they didn't get what they wanted out of the consensus process inside ICANN. I think it's about reviewing decisions where there's a belief that there is consensus within the ICANN community and the board did something else.
Yeah, or the board did nothing. You know, there was a crisis, board did nothing, and...
Voltaire would say that's still an action.
Exactly. Yeah, it is an action. So, look... I don't think we have to work about numbers. I think we just have to say that the issue can be taken up upon agreement and leave it at that, not define it. We don't need to define it at this stage. I mean, the likelihood of somebody saying, what a fabulous idea, and we will initiate the process straight away is pretty small. Not to say it's not a brilliant idea. I'm just suggesting that it might not happen straight away.
Probably worth noting it doesn't need to be unanimous, though.
Right. Now, everybody can get an early mark. Are we supposed to gather at some point and march across the street? Is that the idea?
At the hotel check-in desk.
At what time?
Okay.
That's all right. You will be interrogated. In fact... Everybody else can go except you.
We're just disconvening.
Sorry, I had a meeting.
Look, what we're happy to walk you through where we got to. And you can contribute, because the idea is everybody can have an early mark now. And I have been informed that we are going to have to walk for our supper, lunch. No, this is at 1:15. Where? And at 3 o'clock, what Chester and I are going to do now is reduce the discussion of a day and a half into words that can go up on the screen that people can look at, and anybody else is welcome to stay and work and help wordsmith.
So you're going to skip lunch?
No.
Okay, then I stay.
No. Lunch is at 1:15, and we go for a walk.
We're not going to miss lunch.
We're not going to miss lunch. Lunch is this way. Apparently, I was not present when this was told.
It's essentially back at Paddington, but there's going to be an organized group of people walking down the street. So you can't get lunch.
There's going to be a rope with knots in it.
Yeah.
And everyone will have to hold on to the rope. You know,
and for some people we don't trust, we're going to put a harness on them.
And the French government just threatened IGAN that they won't give us wine for lunch.
What? Oh, my God, not the wine thing. Oh, no. Oh.
The Financial Times.
Oh, no. You see, that's what we need the board. We need this new structure we've got to just put them into line.
At large alcoholics.
I like it. Why didn't we think of this? At large, we've always been saying advisory committee. We've got a better name. Okay. Right. Now,
Madam Chair, was my absence this morning meaning I am now relieved completely of reporter duties, or was it just for the moment?
Well, you can work with the two of us to come up with.
You can help me. I can do it. But
yeah.
Okay.
It's just Christoph has a very good point. Until we can actually see the stuff up there and have a look at it, we're not going to be able to form a firm view about whether we support it or not. So, you know what we're going to start with? He's been taking them.
Or he.
Yes.
But everyone was invited to help me draft.
Yes.
This is a completely democratic process.
I need to leave again in 10 minutes or so. Could you send me via email whatever you come up with before you go to lunch?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got to meet. I'm not going to lunch because I have another meeting.
Okay.
Over lunch.
Okay.
Okay.
Now.
Stay for another 10 minutes or so if you think it will help.
All right. Carlos. Anybody else who wants to hang around? Don't everybody hold your hand up at once. Scott? You're welcome to. I know that. Well, the idea is we are going to write now, and by the time you come back at 3 o'clock, there will be text. And that is what we have to actually work with. We haven't put anything up yet.
Did we note in the chat it's for everyone who has not turned their mic on, no one hears it.
Oh, no, do you want me to say something?
Thank everybody.
You could let the people.
Thank you, everyone. We are now closing session 3 of thematic group 4. We will reconvene at 1500, and thank you, everybody, for your attention.